Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Gary Myers, a longtime columnist for the Daily News, ton of TV. He's been entrenched in the business forever. He's done a ton of books and everything. But he's got this new thing out. It's called the GOAT Tom Brady Podcast. It caught our attention, and we're going to talk about it. Gary, welcome back, buddy. How you been?
I'm doing great, BT. What's up, Cheeky? How you doing, fellas?
I am fantastic, man. I haven't listened to an episode yet of The GOAT, but I'm looking forward to it because obviously he's the greatest, and we know he's the greatest. But tell us why you decided to do this. I know you've had plenty of interviews, including this back and forth with Peyton Manning and these rivalry games that he's been on. But why did you decide to do this project in podcast form?
Well, I was offered an opportunity. First of all,
nice. All right,
I'm sold. I'm in.
Thank you. Yes,
sure.
It's the company that they did one with Jack McCallum from Sports Illustrated on the Dream Team. He had written a book about the 92 Olympic basketball team, and they did a podcast called The Dream Team Tapes, and they decided that they wanted to follow that up because it was so successful, and it was based off of books that had been written. So they came to me and they asked me if I wanted to do one based on my Brady versus Manning book and to really start around Brady. They planned to do a series of GOAT podcasts, and they figured, who better to start it with than Tom Brady. So I have, the interviews from my book, and I have interviews I've done since then, and with, just a whole list of people, in and around Tom's life. And it's a 12-episode podcast, and I really take people through from his high school days and until today. It's a narrative, and I just kind of plug in different sound bites here and there. And, so far so good. The reviews have been really nice.
Gary, you probably know more about Tom because of this than most people do, and I'm interested – because there was a tidbit that I didn't think I realized that he had a disconnect with the University of Michigan because he felt underappreciated. And I know you talk about that in the second or third episode. But what else about Tom do we assume, but we just don't really know? What are we going to be surprised about when we listen to this and follow his journey from high school all the way now to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Well, Tiki, he was really forthcoming with me, and this was a few years ago, about his relationship with Belichick. And listen, I know it's not a common thing where a coach and a player would ever go out and get a pizza and a beer together, but I thought that after they had been together for 15 years or so and they had already won multiple Super Bowls, that maybe like on a Tuesday night as they're sitting in Belichick's office in Foxborough going over the game plan, maybe Belichick would turn to Brady or the other way around and say, you know what? This is pretty freaking amazing what we've been able to do together. Or Belichick would, might say to him, Tom, it's 10 o'clock at night. I know there's not much open Foxborough on Route 1, but let's just go see if we can grab a beer together and, just turn out the lights here. And he said he never got to know him that way at all.
Wow.
I mean, nothing on really a personal level, that they never discussed their accomplishments together. They never took time out from a working relationship to try to get to know each other away from the field, so to speak. I just thought that, and again, it's not a common thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I never would have expected to see Tiki and Coughlin, with Del Frisco's in Manhattan.
Yeah, but you know what? Gary, I used to hang out with Fossil, what I mean? So that was...
There you go. So, maybe that does happen, and especially after two guys are, in a different phase in their life where they've been in the league such a long time and they've accomplished so much, that maybe they would just, take a step back and appreciate what each other has meant, what they've meant to each other. And they've never done that.
That's interesting.
And the other thing I was going to tell you is that I always felt that, you know, Tom's father is a really outspoken guy and very defensive of Tom, and especially during the Deflategate nonsense, as I would call it.
Yeah.
And he went on a radio show once when, in San Francisco, where a host was criticizing Tom and calling him a cheater, and his dad called up the radio show and called and told the host there, I don't even remember who it was, he called Goodell a flaming liar on the air.
So, I remember that story.
About a week after that, this was like in 2015, I think. It was right after my book came out, and the Patriots were defending Super Bowl champions, so they were opening the season at home against the Steelers. And I had some advanced copies of my book, and I wanted to give one to Tom's dad. So we made plans. We met up in like one of the clubs at Foxborough Stadium like a half hour before kickoff. And it's the first time I had met him, although I had spoken to him on many occasions. And I said, man, I mean, you really went after Goodell last week. What was Tom's reaction to that? He goes, Dad, you're not doing me any favors.
That's true. They were
Yeah, because the whole thing wasn't settled at that point.
That's right.
He hadn't been, he was, I think he had just, in the courts, he had just got the suspension overturned, which eventually got reinstated.
Yeah, yeah. So we're talking to Gary Myers, the host of the Go Tom Brady podcast. It's funny you bring up Tom's dad. I told Tiki this story once or twice over the 8 years we've been doing the show together. I was doing, when I was in San Francisco, I did a lot of TV, and I'm in the green room one night getting ready to go on and do my show. Who's there? Tom's dad, right? That's mm-hmm. All really nice guy. Of course, I got to ask a few questions about Giselle, like a knucklehead. Is she really that hot in person? Like a complete idiot. I was a little younger. Not much. And he's like, wow, she's a wonderful mom. He deflected, but he was laughing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The point is, you know, I said, man, I said, what is it like being Tom Brady's dad? He said, you know, listen, on draft day, all we hoped was to merely get drafted, maybe make a couple of $100,000 for a couple of years, hold the clipboard, and then go to Wall Street. And I preface all that to set it up with, as accomplished, and he is the GOAT, as accomplished as he is, in his most honest moment, do you think Tom Brady, has he ever said, or can he say, yeah, I envision this? He's got to be surprised, if not stunned, by his own personal accomplishments, right?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. In fact, when it came time to picking a college, Tom Sr. wanted Tom to go to Cal because he wanted him to be able to play, you know, 30 minutes from their house mm-hmm. on Sundays and then play golf. I mean, on Saturdays and then play golf together on Sundays. And he was crushed when Tom went to Michigan. But the interesting thing is he told me the only advice he gave Tom was, I want you to pick a school that you'd be proud to have a degree from, because let's be realistic, you're not going to have a career as a professional athlete.
Wow, yeah.
And that's in my podcast. And to hear Tom Sr. say, you know, that he didn't anticipate, and I'm sure Tom didn't, you know, I guess Tom had an awful lot of confidence, but whether he thought he can even make it to the NFL, you know, is debatable. But Tom Sr. was trying to be realistic with his son and just say, listen, you know, the chances of you having an NFL career, you know, no less be a starter,
yeah,
and no less win a championship are so remote that pick a school that you're going to be really proud to have the degree and you can use it
smart
for whatever your career is going to be. So
I
think, like anybody, nobody would possibly anticipate that he would have won 6 championships, and just the fact that he won one, you know, exceeded anybody's expectations.
Yeah, let's move to the current state. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the relationship with Tom Brady and Coach Belichick, but I think we can all assume that you mentioned it wasn't super friendly. And when Tom decided to move on and go to Tampa Bay, I guess it was a media driven thing or a fan driven thing. Well, who needed who? Like, who needed uh-huh. whom, basically? Was it Tom needed Bill or did Bill need Tom? And maybe we're seeing a little bit of it now with the Buccaneers thriving the way that they are and the Patriots scuffling the way that they are. As you look at Tom's decision to move away from the Patriots and I guess say Bill Belichick and go someplace else, which was completely different, are you surprised that he didn't want to you know, like fulfill it there and finish his career there and instead go someplace else? Because it's odd for an all-time great, even though we see it all the time, but an all-time great like Tom, who still had some left, to just want to leave. It felt like he wanted to leave.
Yeah, I'm, you know, right up until, I remember it was a Monday night that he came out with that statement on Instagram or whatever, or Tuesday after meeting with Kraft on Monday night. Right up until that point, Tiki, I was convinced he was going to stay.
Me too.
Because I thought so much, I thought it meant so much to him to play his entire career in one uniform and do something that, you know, his hero Joe Montana didn't do and his other hero Steve Young didn't do. And despite, you know, his relationship deteriorating somewhat with Belichick, and I know it was deteriorating with Josh McDaniels. I really thought he would just find a way to stick it out because of his loyalty to Robert Kraft. But I think that he knew what it was going to be like in New England because the weapons that he had to work with in 2019, those guys wouldn't even make the team. Other than Edelman, they wouldn't even make the team in Tampa.
Yeah.
And he knew that Belichick was not loading up for him in the offseason, and he didn't want his end his career like that. I mean, he had an okay year last year that got bad down the stretch, but I really thought it was a product of Belichick not surrounding him with talent. And, you know, he handpicked the Bucs. He studied that roster. He knew they had a good defense. He knew they had weapons, and he knew Arians was a really good offensive coach. And you have to say that he made the right career decision considering how he's doing and how the Patriots are doing.
Gary, you know what's funny? Tiki asked you a question, and I was going to ask you the exact opposite question. I was going to actually frame it. Do you think that, and you can still answer it because it's probably a different answer. Do you think he regrets not leaving New England sooner based on
interesting,
the jovial nature, just a different vibe, and you know, the story that you never had a beer with Belichick? You think now as a 40, so whatever he is, 42, 43, he looks back and says, man, why did I stifle myself the last 5-6 years?
You know, that's a great question. And I think considering what's happened this season and, you know, if you follow Tom closely this year, he's much more outspoken on some things. And he's, you know, that interview he did with Howard Stern, and I listened to most of it, was over 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it was Tom Brady unplugged. And he never would have done that if he was still in New England.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think he stayed there as long as he did. And even though he wasn't even getting market value on his contract, because he thought that he could still win and win Super Bowls there. Not just win, but win Super Bowls. And I think that the last couple of years, that confidence had started to dissipate because he saw what was happening with the roster. And if here's the thing. If he had to do it over again and he knew there was life away from New England and maybe the grass was actually greener, that he might have done it earlier in his career. Because it's one thing to win. It's another thing to win and have fun at it. And I don't think he was never joyful. What did he say to Al Michaels in the middle of the 2019 season when NBC had a game? He said, you know, he's the most unhappy 8-0 quarterback in the world.
Yes.
I mean, that says everything you really need to know there. And for him to pick up at the age of 43, you know, with two kids at home, and then he has his third child who's with him a lot. And he lived right – I mean, I'm telling you, he lived right next door to Robert Kraft in Brookline. They can walk. I'm not sure how big Brady's property is, if he can actually walk from one to the other. It just might be a really long walk because they're both mansions.
Yeah.
They're literally next door to each other. And for him, it was like living next door to his second father.
Yeah.
So it really took a lot for him to give up everything he had built and to be a Boston hero like Larry Bird and Bill Russell and Bobby Orr and
Big Poppy
and Ted Williams, and then just pick it up and say, I'm going to finish somewhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, that just shows really how unhappy he was in New England.
Yeah, no, you're right. Your podcast, and it's brand new. It's out. You go find it wherever you find podcasts. I got it on Apple Podcasts here. It's called The GOAT, Tom Brady. Very simple. It's easy to find. Last one for you, Gary. Now, you mentioned him living close to Robert Kraft. I know how close he is to Robert Kraft. I've met them collectively over the years. It is like a father relationship. If he needs to go stay in the city, he goes stays at Robert's place in Manhattan. How is New England ultimately going to view Tom Brady? It doesn't change anything because he left for Tampa, correct? He's still going to be the greatest of all time there as well. There's no ire, correct?
Well, I don't think – I think right now, as the Patriots are struggling and Tom is thriving in Tampa, the hardcore Patriots fans right now might feel a little resentment for Tom for not sticking it out and might feel jilted. And I'm really disappointed that Tampa doesn't play in New England this year. And if they did, you know, it would be great if there was a full house. And I think they might play there next year. So I think that I think the fans were really disappointed that he left. But, I mean, how can you get mad at a guy that
won
the Super Bowl?
Yeah, you're right.
You don't. Went to 9, you know what I mean?
You don't.
Yeah. I think what you see happen with a lot of these Patriots, and, you know, Richard Seymour, and there's a really long list of them, mm-hmm. where Belichick always gets rid of a guy a year too early than a year too late.
Yep.
And there always seems to be some hard feelings. But then they get welcomed back. And that's one of the reasons that Belichick doesn't become close to his players is because, you know, he knows at some point he's going to have to make a really difficult decision to tell a guy, you know, he's trading him or he's cutting him because he doesn't think, you know, he can play to that level anymore. But he always embraces them when they come back. And Tom Brady will get an ovation when he goes back there, either when he plays there next year, if there's fans, hopefully there will be fans in the stands, or when he goes back there after he retires, we'll hear the ovation. It'll be so loud, we'll hear it around the country.
Yeah.
Right now, I think because the two teams are going in opposite directions, they probably consider him, you know, somewhat of a traitor because the Boston fans are so passionate.
Mm-hmm.
But when things settle down and they can look at things realistically and put it in better perspective, I mean, 9 Super Bowls, six championships in 20 years, making the Patriots the model franchise. I mean, how can Patriots fans have anything – no, but love for that guy.
They can. And listen, we have to go. But I would even submit that right now, and this is a great spot, Gary. Good job. I would submit that because the Pats are so bad that their affinity for Tom never wavered. If they were 5-1 or 6-2, whatever it is, they're, Tom, we don't, Tommy, we didn't need that. He left us. We don't need, look at Cam. Cam's great. The fact that they stink and they're getting worse by the week only, you know, further illuminates just how, not that you need it, but if they needed a reminder, just how great Brady was for them and how lucky they had it. So if there's any ill will towards Tom, they got to get over themselves because it's a clown show if that's the case. There's no way that that's
the
case.
I know you got to go. I just want to throw one other thing in there.
Go for it.
The biggest surprise of the season so far to me is that Julian Edelman somehow didn't wind up in Tampa.
Yeah, he's hurt now, too.
I know, right?
Oh, I know.
Well, Gary, go ahead, Teague.
I was going to say they have that little mini Edelman. What's that kid's name down in Tampa?
That's Scotty Miller.
Yeah, Scotty. They got the mini Edelman. They don't need Julian Edelman.
Since having Antonio Brown, we didn't even talk about that. But I'm really interested to see, you know, how long he lasts down there.
Yeah, we'll see. The GOAT Tom Brady podcast. Gary Meyer has been around the game for a long time. He's had some big-time projects. This sounds really good.
Yeah.
Great chat. Thanks
Looking
a lot,
forward
Gary.
To it. Thank you, Gary.
BT, Tiki, thanks so much. Take care, guys, and be safe.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.